When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Unbreakable.
Warriors big. Warriors big.
So effing tired of Draymond.
Warriors big.
So effing tired of Draymond.
So tired of his ass.
So effing tired of Draymond's ass. It would appear that love is dead, or very likely in a bad way.
Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports. Going until 6:30 tonight. We have got Clippers basketball. It was another Petros and Money sandwich, the bread being the Dodgers and Clippers.
Full show tomorrow, Matt.
Full show tomorrow, 3 to 7 p.m., but we are going to Clipper pregame with Adam Oslin at 6:30 p.m. because the Celtics are in town, sans an injured Jason Tatum, but Kyrie Irving will be out there. The Clippers riding that win streak after knocking off the Oklahoma City Thunder in an exciting one over the weekend. So that's tonight.
Matt.
What?
Do you know that gentleman with the very long name, much like my own, that works for the Clippers? I think he might be an in-house Clipper guy. Farbod Ensahari.
Oh, good old Farbod?
Farbod underscore E.
Ensahari.
Love that guy.
You know that guy, Ronnie?
Yeah, I do. He comes on the Clippers, a post-game Clippers talk.
NBA credentialed writer covering the Clippers for Sports Daily blog, contributor for Sports Nation SBN, WWE on ESPN. Farbod.
Love Farbod.
Love Farbod. Farbod had a very interesting tweet over the weekend.
I like FE.
Ensahari.
Exactly right.
Farbod! Love this guy. He sent out this tweet in regards to the Clippers, who are playing tonight over the weekend.
Tonight!
And if you also throw in the USC and UCLA swept in the mountains over the weekend.
It's a bit of a disaster for our amateur squads in town.
And all the pros. How about Farbod? Hello, comma. I would just like you all to know that the Lakers, Kings, and Ducks all got booed at home this week. The Clippers were the only team that didn't get booed. They're also the only team with a winning record. Well done, Farbod. That's a pretty good tweet.
You know, in L.A., you know, we don't count division titles. We don't count being a wild card team.
No, we do count when the fans boo you at home,
yes,
though. Farbod does.
Turns out coming back with the, hey, when you raise a banner, let us know.
As Kevin Pelton posted, and it really put it into perspective for me today when I saw that article. Two good long-form pieces on the Lakers' failings. One by Bill Orem.
Bill Orem, very good article.
Great one,
yes.
On Luke Walton and how the coaching staff implored Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka to sign different players around LeBron James that would fit better, but they were ignored, and that is how you got this cast of misfit supporting players around him. And two, the one that Pelton wrote, that in a very stark painted picture, shared for the first time I think I've ever seen this. The Lakers have the worst record in the NBA over the last 6 years.
Yeah.
When you put it that way, that's badass crazy. The Lakers have the worst record. This is like what we said about, you know, Al Davis has lost his fastball. The Raiders have the worst record in the NFL. Look, they were great, and Al was great. But clearly it's passed him by because the Raiders have the worst. How could a once proud franchise like the Raiders be this bad? We're now in that range.
Yeah, Cowboys kind of thing where they can't get anything going, but the Lakers don't even make the playoffs.
Worst record in the NBA for the last 6 years.
It's mind-boggling.
That's crazy. When you think about the process and Philadelphia intentionally losing as threatening the 9-win threshold, Philadelphia did that. They intentionally lost games for 3 high draft picks, and the Lakers still have fewer wins over the last 6 years than the Sixers.
Byron Scott's going to fix it. Let's get it. The top story of the day, Matt. Come on.
Top story of the day.
By the way, podcast the show on the iHeartRadio app or m570lasports.com/PMS or any place you listen to podcasts. We appreciate it. We get them up as quick as we can.
And the top story of the day presented by Kinetic Financial. Hit #250 on your cell. Say Kinetic Financial. Our friend Prince Ali and his 5
Prince
cornerstones
Ali
of free educational sessions with a gourmet dinner. We'll be waiting for you to make sure you are set up to retire when you decide to call it a career. here we go. Luke is embattled, clearly. He has been embattled.
Luke Walton?
Clearly, Luke Walton. Jeannie Buss came on our show. She is one of our favorites.
Jeannie
she
with
comes
a big
to
weenie.
All of our summer tours regularly.
So far.
Hopefully this year will be the same, even though it has been another disappointing season for the Lakers. As we said, they have had the worst record in the NBA over the last 6 seasons. It
hasn't stopped her before.
That is mind-boggling. But this may lead to her declining an invitation this season, because it was on our show. She said, Luke is our coach. Luke is going to be our coach for 10 to 15 years. We are excited about that prospect. That is the way the Lakers do business. We have had too many coaches. Luke is young. He is bright. And we believe in Luke. Well, clearly, that has changed. And that has changed because anyone that can read the tea leaves, anyone that can follow how coaches either get a vote of confidence, don't get a vote of confidence, how they're being treated during timeouts by their star players, can recognize. And look, Luke is not free of blame. A lot of people that follow the NBA say that his coaching is average, that his sets out of timeouts aren't all that creative, that regularly he's being, you know, I shouldn't say regularly, that routinely he's outcoached by another coach.
Easy guy for people like us, especially the LA media and the Golden State media, to like and enjoy. He's a California guy with a cool dad.
Laid back.
He's a nice man. He had a very interesting basketball career. He's a good interview. A lot of people were rooting for Luke. Now, that doesn't mean it was going to work or not work, and that doesn't really mean this is all his fault either.
No. That said, the article by Bill Oram today, and I think it suggests exactly what many people posited when they made the moves, that Luke and his coaching staff explained to the front office, you should keep Brook Lopez. He's a perfect fit as a stretch five with
He'll
LeBron.
Feast.
He can play the center position defensively. He can shoot and spread the floor offensively. Why would you get rid of him? And instead, they signed Michael Beasley into the slot that they could have paid Brook Lopez the same amount of money. They also wanted to bring back Julius Randle, pointing out that he would be a great fit next to LeBron James. Instead, they bid him farewell, brought in Rajon Rondo, who also does not shoot all that well and is not all of that great of a fit next to LeBron, and Luke's going to wear it because of their decisions. But here's the thing about that article and about all of the conversation now surrounding Luke Walton no longer being the coach at the end of this season, because someone's going to have to take the fall for a LeBron James team, not only missing the NBA Finals for the first time in the last 9 seasons consecutively, but missing the playoffs altogether, extending the Laker playoff drought to, I believe, 7 years, 6 years, 6 or 7 years now.
Since the Dwight Howard year.
Since that Dwight Howard year, they got bounced in the first round.
Kobe did his Achilles.
I think that was 13, so that would be
right after he didn't high-five Jack Black.
High-five.
Didn't high-five him, and then he did his Achilles. Karma?
Coincidence?
I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah.
Before you fire Luke Walton.
I don't know. You can't say that for sure.
You must ask yourself, what type of coach would Magic Johnson / Rob Pelinka hire?
Well, don't we already know?
That are being bandied about, if you ask Kovacs.
Stu Kovacs?
Include Jason Kidd.
Vogel.
Frank Vogel.
Vogel's the guy!
But I decided to be an online, or is it a Twitter archaeologist?
An outrage archaeologist. Are you looking for outrage?
No, this is not an outrage.
Are you looking to be outraged?
I am just an online archaeologist.
Uh-huh.
I was digging up old tweets from Magic Johnson.
just to learn the past?
And I retweeted one of them earlier.
Predict the future through the past, the naked archaeologist?
Foreshadowing, perhaps. And I tweeted out something from 2015 in which Magic Johnson wrote.
Was this right after Byron got fired from a job? Maybe the
right
Laker
after,
job?
Right after Byron was fired from the Laker job.
Remember those welcome back, 2016.
Byron? 2016.
Remember all those
bus
sweet
benches.
Park benches in Inglewood?
I know in my heart that Byron Scott will be back coaching in the NBA soon because he is a great coach. Now, mind you, this is a man who had a record 27-game losing streak in Cleveland. A man who I believe had a 14-loss in a row stretch while with the New Orleans Hornets before they became the Pelicans. I believe started a season out 0-7 when they fired him. And then, of course, did nothing but destroy the confidence and refused to support his young talent while they were drafted at the age of 18 and 19 and trying to find their way in the NBA.
But now, with LeBron and these veterans, now Byron will be ready to rock and roll, right, Matt? I mean, that would be, like, that was a bad fit because those were young players. But now the Lakers are going to get old players, and Byron's the guy to help LeBron. Right?
I'm pointing out that Magic Johnson, if you dig into his Twitter feed, there is only one person he would like to hire, Byron Scott. You're a great coach. Hang in there. Things will get better.
Okay, all right. All right. Let's go Morningside.
That, I believe, from 2015. I feel bad for my friend and former teammate Byron Scott after the Lakers decided to not retain his services.
And now this is all right there for everybody to look at.
Just, if you want a Twitter search, at Magic Johnson and Byron Scott, this is what will come up. This, by the way, the game ball goes to Coach Scott for playing MVP or MWP, Meta World Peace, and Larry Nance Jr. Both played good defense.
Oh, okay.
Laker Nation, the Laker players executed Coach Scott's defensive plan to perfection. Byron Scott, you're a great coach.
Wow, that's a lot of Twitter support for Byron Scott. Did he show any love like this for, like, Budenholzer or anybody like that?
Not one. He never once has tweeted, what a great victory on Christmas Day by Luke Walton. It was just way to go, LeBron and company. You beat the Wars. This is my favorite one. New York fans better hope they don't have to play the Cavs anymore this season.
Oh, this is from way back.
Congrats to my former teammate, Cleveland coach, Byron Scott.
What happened there in Cleveland, Matt?
He would lose 27 consecutive games. Ooh. 27.
That's hard in the NBA.
And I want you to think now.
You really have to lose a team.
It would be next to impossible. You could try to lose 27 games in a row, and you still couldn't. You still would not be able to do it because these are NBA players. Much like we saw the Phoenix Suns defeat the Warriors yesterday.
Yeah.
And Steve Kerr say, I am so effing tired of
Draymond's ass.
To
Mike Brown, another guy who LeBron got fired over the years.
This is my favorite one because think about what could have been. We are going to Clippers basketball. We are celebrating the Clippers. This is from Arsenio.
Ooh, Arsenio Hall?
In 2013. So, at Magic Johnson, the Clippers need a coach. Byron Scott needs a job.
Damn.
What say you, Irv?
They have been caping for Byron Scott for years.
The Clippers got Doc Rivers. They were pushing Byron Scott instead of Doc Rivers to the Clippers.
So the likelihood that the Lakers hire Byron Scott to replace Luke Walton, Matt, if LeBron, obviously LeBron would have to be okay with it.
If you read tweets from 2013 to 2016.
That is very, I'm not saying you uncovered the curse of the mummy or anything, Brandon Frazier, but that's pretty good Twitter archaeology, Matt. That is some pretty. You didn't find Anubis, the head of the dog-headed god of Egypt.
I did not.
But
I found Laker Nation. The Laker players executed Coach Scott's defensive plan to perfection. Byron Scott, you're a great coach.
How many tweets are there in total that you found?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
That's caping.
7.
I haven't even tweeted that much for Beach Life Fest. Which is coming up in May.
I know in my heart that Byron Scott will be back coaching in the NBA soon because he's a great coach.
Now, does Byron work where now?
I think he works at Spectrum Sportsnet. I believe he is a TV analyst for the Lakers right now.
Is that what he does? I thought that was just Fisher. Is Byron on there, Kevin? Is Byron on there with Bob Ori and all those guys on Spectrum Sportsnet LA?
Not much.
Oh, he's on ESPN. Oh. So he's rolling with like Paul Pierce and them dudes, Jalen Rose and all
rolling
that?
Rolling with the homies.
How would you feel, Kevin? You're a bit of a Clipper fan, are you not? Is that fair
Kevin
to say?
Fingers? Angels.
I'm sorry?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
I am not a Clipper fan.
We got Clippers coming up tonight.
You
what
just
kind
support
of
your
that?
FNA podcast partner, Adam Oslin, and his Clipper broadcast.
Oh, sure. I support the Clippers, and I want them to do well.
Right,
but I wouldn't say that I'm a Clipper fan. I've been a Laker fan my entire life.
Okay. So do you think, based on Arsenio Hall's suggestion to Magic Johnson, that the Clippers, again, so at Magic Johnson, the Clippers need a coach. This is in 2013. Byron Scott needs a job. What say you, Irv? How do you think the Clippers would have fared had they hired Byron Scott instead of Doc Rivers to be their head coach?
I'd say about as well as the Lakers fared when they hired Byron Scott as their head coach.
You don't think he'd still be there through all the hills and gullies like Doc is?
Probably not.
Okay.
I don't know how he would have navigated the whole Donald Sterling situation as Doc did.
If Magic Johnson holds the same positions that he did circa 2013 to 2016, it is clear that there is only one choice to replace Luke Walton, and that man is Byron Scott. How would you feel about that, Kevin?
Based on your research.
Based on my research.
I don't think anybody could ever come up with any other conclusion here.
I think I might become a Clipper fan at that point, Matt.
Okay.
I mean, could you find another conclusion, Matt? I'm not even sure if Magic's aware there's another coach in the league.
Seven tweets. Byron Scott, you're a great coach.
Byron Scott is the best coach in the NBA. Not working. All right, we'll be right back. With more PMS, Ray Ratto, he might have something to say about the Lakers.
I feel bad for my friend and former teammate Byron Scott after the Lakers decided not to retain his services.
Now, you're just recycling the tweets that you've already read, Matt.
I figure it's worth reading them again.
Do you think he retweeted them himself to put them back up on the top of his timeline?
You know what? I'll do one a day. I did one today. I'll do one tomorrow. It'll be a tweet a day from Magic in days past.
Did you see, like, Magic calling play-by-play on his life because he's Magic? Like, okay, I'm going to get up. I'm going to drink my celery juice. I'm going to cape for Byron, and then I'm going to call Luke and fire him. And then
I think my favorite response that came from that tweet earlier today was someone writing, cue the narrator. Who would have thought Magic Johnson's television career would be more successful than his general manager career?
We'll be right back with more.
Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports. Remember, still giving away a TV. That's right. 20 TVs in 20 days is still happening. Listen all week for your chance to win, and you will watch those games in 4K Ultra High Def on your Westinghouse 50-inch Android TV. Westinghouse TVs provide you with a clear, crisp image.
Plus, we gave one away earlier.
Of apps gave it away earlier. All week long, we continue to give away these Westinghouse 50-inch TVs because it is 20 TVs in 20 days. We follow Dodger baseball. We are ahead of Clipper basketball off at 6:30 p.m. tonight as Clippers taking on the Boston Celtics and Kyrie Irving. No Jason Tatum in that one.
Super geeked.
Super geeked.
For that matchup, you can podcast the show at am570lasports.com/PMS or the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone. We would love it if you did that. And we know this is going to get a lot of downloads because joining us right now.
That's the best.
One of the great writers in the history of Northern California. You know what?
Period.
I'm gonna say West Coast.
Period.
You know what? I'm gonna say United States.
Western U.S.
North America.
North America. Are you
North
wait,
America?
You sure?
Yeah. Yes.
You want to go Western Hemisphere?
Sure.
Okay.
But I'm not really familiar with a lot of the Canadians or South American.
Well, I mean, you went North America, so I figured.
Let's go, man.
Let's go.
Better than anybody I've ever heard in Mexico. The great Ray Ratto.
Losing the will to live here. Get on with it.
Take it easy, Ratto. There's big news out there with the soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders. They signed another big-money receiver, just like Randy Moss back in the day. A big trade with the great Pittsburgh Steelers to the Raiders. Joining us with his finger on the pulse of all things Bay Area, the great and powerful Ray Ratto on the Chevy Silverado
Losing the Will to
Celebrity
Live
Hotline. Yeah, I heard something like that early in the morning. Ray and I are very similar in that way. Just staggering through life. Hello, Ray.
I have a limited lifespan left, and the quicker you get on with this, the more I can look forward to what's left of it.
You're one of the greats, Ray. That's all we're trying to do is give you your propers. You know what I mean?
I could be dead in an hour. Get on with it.
Any of us could, Ray. I mean, there's nothing that's really guaranteed. All right.
Now, look, maybe you're leading that race between the three of us.
Maybe.
But all three of us are very close.
Yeah, Matt's got tinnitus.
What?
In his ear. Ray? Was your reaction toward Antonio Brown one of great celebration or one of deep trepidation?
Well, since I don't care whether the Raiders live or die, or really any other team, I didn't much care. But what I did find was that John Gruden really is a lot more like the man he purported to hate, Al Davis, than he'll ever let on. Because this was very much an Al kind of move, which is you spot a very talented player whose current team is very disaffected with him and he with them. And he basically, you know, went out and got the guy he wanted. And whatever the cost, John Gruden needed Antonio Brown more than Antonio Brown needs the Raiders. As a result, he goes out, he gets a guy for the first time in his tenure, rather than cut people. And now that's the move that's going to define him for the next 3 years.
In terms of how it came together, Ray, what percentage do you think, and I'm going to combine the Trent Brown signing in here too, because last year Gruden drafts a tackle at 15. He drafts a tackle in the third round. Now that number 15 overall pick that wasn't Derwin James is going to probably move to the right tackle position, because he's got the most expensive left tackle, and that's to some degree, I would imagine, admitting a fault. Last year, he signs Jordy Nelson to a free agent deal. Now Antonio Brown comes in on a big money free agent deal. Is any of this Mike Mayock undoing some of last year's personnel decision mistakes?
Mike Mayock is not doing anything that John Gruden doesn't want done. And while I do believe that Mayock did most of the negotiating about what the Raiders would give up, I think John Gruden said, I want Antonio Brown, and I don't care what you have to do to get him. John Gruden came in last year, and for a month he really thought he could be the guy on the white horse and get the Raiders back to one last really deep playoff run before they left Oakland. And within about a month, he decided that, nah, that's really not going to happen. We're screwed. And he spent all of last year basically getting rid of anything he could find. Khalil Mack, he got rid of largely because he was not very happy, A, with the money he was asking, and two, with the fact that he didn't show up for any OTAs or anything else. Amari Cooper he got rid of because Derek Carr had lost confidence in him and he in them. And by and large, he spent almost all of last year getting rid of things. Antonio Brown is the first real thing that he reached out and paid actual assets to get. And the fact that they picked on the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are prisoners of their own cheapness and frustration with Antonio Brown, is very much what Al Davis would have done. So I guess my sense was, this is what you do when you've finish tearing down everything you can tear down, and you have to start building.
What do you say to the people that are trying to make this a parallel to the Randy Moss and Jerry Rice signings in Oakland? Does any of that appear to be consistent with this acquisition of Antonio Brown to you?
Well, the Randy Moss signing is not equivalent, because I think the Raiders were, you know, not looking to – they didn't pick up somebody who was, you know, distressed in the market the way Antonio Brown was. The Jerry Rice signing, I think, was an attempt to sort of prolong what was left of the glory days. I think this is really more a little bit like getting Lyle Alzado or getting John Matuszak. I mean, clear, unadulterated talents – whose current teams could no longer stomach having him. I think this was more taking advantage of a rare moment in the market where talent was not the most important thing. And and that even money wasn't the most important thing, because for a team that minds its quarters as aggressively as Pittsburgh does, to willingly eat $21 million in cap space tells me that their most important item here was to get Antonio Brown out of the building at whatever cost. So I think it was really more opportunism than a plan like Randy Moss, which was to bring in a veteran who could, for lack of a better term, straighten out the young folks on, you know, how to be a pro, or in the case of Jerry Rice, to fill a specific need at a specific time. This was, oh my God, I can't believe Antonio Brown's available, and I definitely can't believe it's only going to cost us a 3 and a 5.
How much longer can he stomach being on our show is the question. Ray Ratto, the voice of the Bay Area, joining us right now on the Petros and Money Show. What's going to happen to Derek Carr, Ray? Does everybody like him again? And by everybody, Gruden, I mean?
I don't know. I think Derek Carr's lifespan with the Raiders is in direct proportion to John Gruden's ability to replace him. And I don't know I think if anything, this probably delays the moment when he decides to get rid of Carr, because I think he would like Antonio Brown playing with somebody with some experience, so that he can find out once and for all if Derek Carr can become the kind of quarterback whom Antonio Brown can approve of. Because if you put him with a rookie, you're sort of taking at least a bit of a chance that Brown will be dissatisfied. And that they definitely don't want. So I think Carr's probably good for one more year. And then after that, it's a matter of can we improve on this? And if they can't improve on this, then he's gone.
Ray, what if Kyler Murray's there at 4? What if the Cardinals decide, hey, Nick Bosa's too good, we got to take him, and that guy's sitting there at 4? Do you think they would draft him?
I cannot imagine a scenario in which he would be there at 4.
But if it were.
Definitely. I think, well, okay, the problem is at some point you have to suspend belief.
Okay, what
all
if,
of a sudden, not only
suspended.
One, three teams have lost their mind.
All right, well, what if they don't have to give up too much to trade to get him? How about that?
Someone's going to trade Kyler Murray or draft Kyler Murray to trade him or sit there and wait for people to come and get them. And I think the 49ers would be among them. Not because they want Kyler Murray, but because they'll have an asset that other teams desperately want. So I think your scenario doesn't make much sense, but let's say he's there at 4.
Let's say.
John Gruden has told anybody who will listen that he loves every player he's ever known. He loved Nathan Peterman. You know, I mean, he would love the corpse of George Izzo.
George could play.
There's nobody that John Gruden can't speak highly of until the moment he has to get rid of him. So I'm not buying the idea that he's fallen in love with Kyler Murray, nor have I bought the idea that he actually hates Kyler Murray. I think it's conceivable, but I think it's unlikely, because I think Kyler Murray is almost a better asset for the teams that don't get him. I mean, if the Raiders wanted to take him, I think John Gruden would turn that into 3 other draft picks before you know it. So I don't think that's a reasonable scenario. But I'm willing, A, not only to be wrong, but B, to be drunk when I am.
All right, we got to ask one about a team, because down here you can no longer root for the Lakers. You have to root against the Warriors at this point of the season if you're a
Laker
fan.
Look for it to fall apart. I was reading Steve Kerr's lips.
So what about him saying he's tired of Draymond doing this ass, and the fact that Kevin Durant apparently has been embattled all year? Is this really unraveling, or is this just a team that is bored and ready for the playoffs to start?
I think this team is very bored, but the real interesting part here is that they keep cutting the amount of time where they actually have to kick it in gear to a pretty disturbing level. I mean, last night was one of those nights when they were not only awful, but they were awful against a bad team coming off a back-to-back, and they were disgusted with themselves and their fan support. I mean, there's almost this sense that they've really run out the string of pretending they can turn it on and off, because they do have flaws that can be exploited. I don't know if anybody in the West can exploit them, but they do have visible weaknesses. They're not as deep. They don't have help behind Curry and Thompson for a wing. They picked up Andrew Bogut because they don't trust DeMarcus Cousins to defend well against big men. So, I mean, there are things you can do to attack them. Their defense is sub-mediocre. They are not by any means the juggernaut, A, that we thought they were, but that they were 2 years ago. They are now first among equals in a group of about six. And if they run into the wrong team at the wrong time, I could see them not either getting to the final or losing in the final. But, I mean, I think this is the first time they've been confronted with the fact that they're not head and shoulders the best team in the game, and that they know what their weaknesses are. And now they have to figure out when they're going to get up off their keisters and do something about it.
But it's going good with LeBron down here, though, at least, right?
Oh, are you kidding me? You guys are the best.
Right?
All is well.
Isn't it great?
Tell you what, there have been Three Stooges episodes with fewer pie fights thrown than you guys. I mean, the thing about the Lakers is that the one thing that people have failed to do is figure out the fact that it's organizational. They have all screwed this up together. Mm. LeBron couldn't do it all by himself. Eddie Buss couldn't do it all by herself. They had to basically combine to turn the Lakers into, a comedy act. It's amazing to me to see all the ways they got getting LeBron James wrong. Mm. I mean, LeBron James is having a perfectly good year, but he's not a great general manager. And the more you look at it, the more you realize they don't have a general manager.
They don't have
a single adult in the room who can say, you know what, if we want to go get Anthony Davis, perhaps we should shut up about what we want to do. You know, maybe we do this normally. Maybe we pay attention to what Dale Benson, the owner of the Pelicans, would find offensive. Why don't we do this like pros instead of just saying, we're the Lakers, come join us? Because that hasn't worked yet. And if you're the Lakers and you can't attract people to you, something's wrong. And it's not the area. You know, apparently you've somehow made yourselves repellent to good players. And that's the one thing that I'd never figured on, is that the Lakers would suddenly become unfashionable. I mean, they're the Memphis Grizzlies.
Ooh, that last one hurt. Perhaps Ray has missed out on the parables, the parables of plenty of Rob Pelinka.
Yeah, there's a tiger in the jungle, and he's watching a bobcat, and the bobcat is inspiring him to be a bigger lion.
And then the lion comes along and roars.
Did you catch that?
Yeah, but I just assumed it was brain bubbles.
You're the best.
The great Ray Ratto.
At Ratto Indy.
If Paul George says, I want to live in Oklahoma, there's a lesson in
there. That. That one day.
If Kawhi Leonard says, I want to go through customs 40 times a year, there's a lesson in that. I mean, how many times can you be told no before it suddenly dawns on you that maybe pretending you're the Lakers of 20 years ago doesn't work anymore? I mean, they're like the Knicks. They think the name alone makes them special.
You ever try convincing Ethel Merman she's not a headliner anymore, Ray?
Well, I don't know that convincing Ethel of much of anything is going to be difficult, as she's been dead.
Well, we will cut you loose.
Oh, you can make a Three Stooges reference, though. Jesus.
Well, I didn't purport that any of them were alive. I merely reported that they had done film.
Harpo's hanging on.
By the way, it is Shemp's birthday today.
I know. I saw that.
I want to point that out.
I did notice that.
Thank you, Ray.
Hey, thanks for coming. Thanks. Seriously.
What?
Drive home safely.
We have to be here anyway.
He's the voice of the Bay. He's at Ratto Indy.
Jeez.
Super cool hipster now.
How did the Lake repellent to good players? It's a good question.
Ray is the best.
The Secret Texoso Rodeo Roundup coming up next. We'll be right back. It is an I'm a Horse Monday on PMS. Clippers, Celtics.
I'm a horse.
Almost as storied as the other LA team of the Celtics. Coming up next. Hoddle, everybody. What's poppin'? Welcome back. Petros and Money Show is on the air right here on AM 570 LA Sports.
God, I love Ray Ratto.
Yeah, Ray Ratto's
Damn,
good.
Do I love Ray Ratto.
What a guest, Matt. But we got it going on. We gave away a TV. We gave away all them tickets to the iHeart event. We got so much going on, it's hard to keep track of.
And we're still
like
doing it every day this week. 20 TVs, 20 days, giving away the Westinghouse 50-inch 4K Ultra, plus four-pack of tickets to the Auto Club 400. That, of course, the biggest NASCAR event on the West Coast. Happening on March 17th at the Auto Club Speedway in Fontana. Gave away a pair of tickets to the iHeart Radio Festival. Always one of the premier live music events.
Time of your life. Eh?
In all the world, people travel from international origins to enjoy that. And remember, tomorrow, full show. Wednesday, we will have Dodger Primetime Baseball again. They play the Giants. We had that one on before us earlier today, but they will play the White Sox a little friendlier, home and home, because they both play at Camelback Ranch. Dodgers will play the White Sox Wednesday at 7 p.m., the next spring training live broadcast.
All right, Matt, we got some textosos for the people, so let's get to it.
Sold out to Chevy.
Secret Textoso line brought to you by Chevrolet. The 2019 Chevy Silverado is pretty sweet, especially with those six USB ports.
Isn't
Matt.
This great?
It is great. Now, Matt, this is a text about you. It came today at 11:14. I don't know where you were on today at 11:14 a.m., but if you were on...
I don't think I had anything, unless there was a replay, but I don't know why there would be a replay of the AAF game yesterday.
It said, damn, tell Money to stop blaspheming so hard. So I wanted to know where your blasphemy was coming from.
Was it the tweet I sent out from Magic Johnson harkening back?
As yes!
We discussed earlier.
That's exactly what it was.
We discussed earlier. If Magic's going to hire the next coach when Luke gets fired.
Oh, you had the Byron Scott. Yeah.
The Byron Scott. I mean... So there are, think about the lack.
You got D Fish.
Again, to just kind of reiterate, think about the number of tweets we read from Magic during Byron Scott's embattled tenure as Lakers head coach, and not a single, just sliver of support for his current head coach since he has been the president of basketball operations. Yet, he felt the need. I think we counted 20 plus. Byron Scott is doing such a good job. I want to congratulate Byron Scott and his Cavs for dismantling that. Well, he wouldn't say this. For beating the Knicks tonight. I want to congratulate Byron Scott on a carefully executed defensive plan versus the Warriors. I want to. Really? Byron Scott, who won like six games in Cleveland, lost 17 in a row in New Orleans, was terrible here in L.A., and we had 30 tweets
not
from Magic supporting Byron Scott as a coach.
Almost as subtle as the sweatshirt that says, not just an athlete, that LeBron wears around. Just not a lot of subtlety here. It's more of a whack-a-mole style here in Los Angeles in the modern day to get people's point across. Matt, speaking
it was
of...
It was a cheap shot. I agree.
That's all right.
It was.
No, I thought it was good. Speaking of whack-a-mole, Matt, here's one for you. Hey, P, I have a little insight about Stossel's slap. I've been... Well, John Stossel got slapped in the head by Dr. D in the 80s.
Old Dave Schultz.
Of course, we had to replay it last week for Stossel's birthday, and we got all over it. But here's a good one, Matt. I've been an indie wrestler for 17 years, and I talked to a bunch of older guys. So now the percentage of people who think wrestling is 100% real is very small. But back in the 80s, it was fairly high. Wrestlers traveled the country, and this makes sense if you think about it. You think about your life back in the day. Wrestlers traveled the country for a living, mostly without any guaranteed contracts, so maintaining the credibility of pro wrestling was a big deal. Stossel got slapped to protect that. Not that he deserved it, but that's why. He couldn't let any idea that pro wrestling wasn't real get out on a story like that. Kind of like that.
Dr. D protecting the brand.
That's some good insight, right?
I mean, I believed it was real after that open hand slap. I'm like, F. That's real. That dude went down.
I knew it was fake, but I knew those guys had to get pretty juiced up to be out there flying around, too.
They were still getting hurt.
About 15, 20 years ago, I saw a guy with a very nice Mercedes-Benz filling it up with a portable gas tank on the side of the road. I believe my exact quote I yelled at him as I drove by was, 60,000 doesn't get you a better gas gauge, dumbass!
dumbass.
And I don't think we should shame each other in society like this.
Just
I really
the
don't.
Guy's driving a nice car doesn't mean he deserves to be shamed for ignoring his gas gauge.
I was
now
not.
When somebody does it repeatedly.
Last week, I was not ignoring my gas gauge. I just miscalculated. I thought I could get across Crenshaw, and I couldn't.
I am not.
I couldn't get it.
I am not going to call you out for running out of gas. Called you out for trying to celebrate yourself for not freaking out when you ran out of gas because you just so happened to be fortunate enough to have run out of gas directly across the street from a gas station.
I just handled it very well.
If you ran out of gas where you were not near that gas station and that in that close of proximity, you would have freaked out. There was just it was strictly circumstantial.
I would not have freaked out.
You would have freaked out.
I don't think I would have.
You would have, well, really? You would have casually?
I think I'd do it much better than I used to. That's all I'm saying, even though I can no longer afford therapy. All right. Please nudge money to stop using optics in relation to players and product in relation to teams. He is becoming Cowherd Light, and he spelled it L-I-T-E. Now, look.
That hurts.
Matt's been using product and optics for a long time, long before Cowherd was on AM 570 LA Sports.
Got to put a better product on the field.
You just got to.
Got to.
And
the fans are paying they're paying big dollars. Let me ask you something. Do you think people would separate themselves with $1,000 if Apple wasn't pushing just prime products like the iPhone?
You're right, man.
No. You know, if you want
to. You wouldn't have to put yourself on a payment plan to get the new iPhone. You're right. $50 a month for 2 years.
The optics are bad.
You're right.
Optics are bad.
Bad optics.
If you're gonna raise the price on that smartphone, you better have premier product, something like that.
Speaking of bad optics,
mayonnaise, ranch,
Brady, LeBron, exactly. LeBron, Cowboys, Brady, LeBron.
Investor dad, Manhattan Beach,
jogging dad, stay at home dad.
That's right.
P, we're on LeBron watch. Speaking of product, Matt, LeBron merch in the clearance rack at two different stores. And then you saw Rob Parker with that beautiful LeBron.
I mean, TJ Maxx action.
Down from $12.99 to $8. And he hasn't even been here a year.
It is wacky. It's one thing to put Josh Rosen jerseys on sale in the Cardinals team store. It's another to find a LeBron James framed photo at a TJ Maxx.
Happy 311 Day, P. We know how much you love on it.
Sold out to Chevy.
Ronnie, can we get a little beautiful disaster
Don't.
On the way out, please? It is 311 day. Dealer's choice, Ronnie. Your favorite 311 song on the way out. Is it Down? Is it Beautiful Disaster? Is it All Mixed Up? Which
is it Amber is the color of your energy?
I contend All Mixed Up is the worst
All Mixed Up
hit song that K-Rock ever played. It is my,
Come
I am
on,
not
Matt.
A prisoner of the moment. It
what
is
about
my
Harvey
contention.
Danger?
I'll take Harvey Danger all day, every
they
day.
They still play Harvey Danger.
100 times on Sunday over All Mixed Up.
All mixed up. Don't know what to do. No, I got.
It's the worst.
Black Hole Sun's rough to hear.
Black Hole Sun's rough, but I'll still take it over All Mixed Up.
It's so bad.
It's
This can't be on our playlist, Ronnie.
It won't be. It's in the bit. It's in the segment. Ronnie will put it on the playlist, but in parentheses, it'll say in segment.
You know, it's not going to make it on the playlist. It's just part of the bit.
Yeah.
311 is terrible. We
it's
all know.
It's 311 day, though.
311 is, we're celebrating the day right here. Yeah. And that's as far as it goes.
It's like the verses suck. The chorus sucks. The bass line sucks. Listen to this. Like, the vocals suck.
These are all old Jamaican
patterns. The harmonies
patterns.
Suck.
These are Jamaican patterns from 1982. No matter what will come to shine, that's a Jamaican term. That's a Barrington Levy pattern.
So here you go, P. 311 or Snow?
I'll take Snow. I follow Snow on Instagram. Snow's a G.
This is the worst song, and I probably...
They listen to Snow in Jamaica. They don't listen to this crap.
When I was there, I probably scheduled this song to play 1,000 times. If Thanks. Not 2,000.
Aeroplane.
I still think this is
By
worse.
By Red Hot Chili Peppers?
I think this is worse than Aeroplane. I know, there's a lot of contenders.
Even worse than Behind the Sun from the Chili Peppers?
What about You Just Don't Get It, You Keep It Copacetic, and You Learn to Accept It, and I'll You're So Pathetic!
I'll take Local H all day. All day over this.
Oh.
Listen to them.
Not an Addict is good. K case choice. I love that. Yeah, I take that way over there.
Yeah, I like Eve 6.
Ooh. Yeah.
Eve 6 is up there.
What about Seether?
Seether.
Fastball. Right. Taking fastball over this.
Definitely.
Taking hot,
fastball.
Hot heat over this.
Every now and then, if fastball comes on the 90s demo, I'm like, man, you know what? There's someone in bed.
Fountains of Wayne over this? Of love. Course. Absolutely.
Yeah, Fountains of Wayne is fine.
Yeah.
Oh, Chickity China, the Chinese chicken. Come on, man.
Naked ladies.
You have
Chickity
a drumstick
China.
And your fingers start. What?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I still think I take Bare Naked
oh,
Ladies.
Oh, man.
It's tough. That's the closest we've come yet. Talking through this. That's the closest we've come.
Well, it would have to be something you guys started playing on K-Rock first, and then it became so big it jumped over and you guys couldn't play it anymore.
I mean, I think I could maybe.
This is it.
I could.
You're up there, Matt. You're right there with it.
Papa Roach is up there.
How about Hey Ya?
Last Resort is up there.
How about Outkast? Hey Ya.
No.
That was a crossover.
No, Come on, Ronnie. Get it together.
You would listen to Hey Ya over this all.
Oh, hell, God.
Last Resort, I think, might be up there.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.